CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it's Monday. Monday's come to get you. It's the best day of the week, according to Leanne, because after that, it doesn't get worse.
But not just any Monday, it's a rainy Monday.
It's a rainy Monday, which is spectacular.
The best kind of Monday.
No, I'm, you know what? I hate to say this because I know there are people who are having a shit time and people who are grumpy and people who like to be miserable and people who like to wail and moan and bitch and bind, but I'm happy. I love this time of year. I love a little rain. This weekend was hot. It was beautiful. I had a great time. I had another bachelor's party on Friday.
Josh, another one.
I know. And the two guys, like last weekend's one and this weekend's one, they both have the same name.
Oh.
Ah.
Yeah. And the two weddings are both out of town, which is a nightmare. We've got to talk about that at some point. And I don't want those... If those friends of mine happen to be listening, I'm not talking about you. We're talking generally. But these destination weddings, man...
Yeah, we spoke about often, Gareth. It's self-indulgent.
You know, the problem is just... Like, yeah, no, I've got three of them I've got to go to over the next month and a half. And
three
of them. So the problem is... It's okay for me. I can afford the tickets. I can afford to find accommodation. But I wonder about everybody else who's been invited to the wedding. And I'm only thinking about them because for a lot of people, they plan one holiday, if they're lucky, a year. Maybe if they're really lucky, two or three.
With a couple sneaky getaways in the weekend, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. If you've really got your thing organized and you know you prioritize travel and let's say you save for that and you don't spend on dumb stuff or whatever. Mm. You know, you don't have to be a big earner to be able to travel. You just have to be extremely disciplined about what else you spend your money on. And it is expensive to go, even inside of South Africa. If you go to Cape Town for a weekend now, getting accommodation there is just like hen's teeth and it costs a fortune. Even though Molusi Gigaba, before he... took pictures of his cock and resigned, had already ruined South African tourism. It's still expensive. And the place becomes like a tiny kind of hell with all the people. And, you know, there's something about Gauteng people at the coast. They behave so badly. I've said this before, and I know Durban and Cape Town people, they try to be polite about us because we bring them money. And we engage in their local economy. We spend at restaurants. We spend at hotels. And we spend at blah, 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 blah. We're just pricks when we go to the coast because we think we're on holiday, so everyone in that place is there to serve us, which is not – that's not true. The locals don't owe you a goddamn thing. You're going there to spend your money. You get what you pay for, but you do not have a right to rule the place like you've got some kind of superior position. You're on holiday and they live there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
People tend to act like animals. Yes. They just go wild.
I used to
– it happens – it actually happens in my suburb here where I live.
Yeah.
It's kind of a destination hotspot.
Yes.
Yeah, so people from Four Ways come over to your suburb.
Yes.
Like Joburg's going to Cape Town.
And they scream and piss on the walls.
And walk around in vests.
Vomit.
And
go mad.
Yeah.
I mean, if I've been on... Because of what I used to do when I was DJing, I would be in a different part of South Africa every weekend. So I'd usually be in... You know, either in Cape Town or even places like Polokwane and Bloemfontein and Stellenbosch and you know, wherever. And then I would see how people who are visiting there, especially in December, behaved. Mm. And it was always bad. They never behaved well. They never arrived there as suitable people. You know, had some fun, and you're allowed to have fun. Everyone wants you to have fun. The holidays, it's a time to relax and to let loose a little bit. But these people behaved so badly.
I remember 20 years ago, driving through Camps Bay in a convertible. It was a friend of mine's. And we all had our Christmas hats on. We were all drinking Savannahs in the back.
With booze hanging out of the windows.
And the traffic was just at a standstill. And there was a resident coming the opposite way in his car. But we were passing by millimeter. And he looked at all of us and he went, "Ho, ho, fucking ho."
Yeah, that's about right.
Stuck there trying to get into his house.
Poor guy. Oh, my God. So I've got to do these three destination weddings, which I love. I mean, I love these people. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I've said no, and you should learn to say no to things that you don't absolutely need to be at or that you don't want to be at. But I don't think a lot of people, first of all, know how to say no. I think people struggle with that. So they'll say yes and then just not pitch, which is way worse, by the way.
It's the worst, yeah.
It's the absolute worst. Rather, say, listen, I'm not coming. And then if something changes somewhere along the way, then you can say, hey, I had a cancellation or I've been able to make a plan. I can come. They'll always be thrilled to add another place. They're not going to be so pleased if there's a place and no one to sit in it. So you got to do these things. But the destination wedding, and then you've usually got a bachelor's or a bachelorette party before that. That's also, and then they want a present, and then blah, blah, blah. So a friend of mine at this bachelor's that we were at on Friday says to me, no, no. At a destination wedding, apparently your presence is the present. Is that right?
It sounds about right.
Well, it also sounds nice. I mean, a nice play of
words. Does that appeal to you as like an honest, decent way to deal with things?
Yeah, but I think we also kind of progress past that whole you must get certain wedding gifts because you've already had sex, you've already moved in, you're already further down in the whole thing. You're not just going, hooray, we're now going to be adults in the house, let's have a toaster. You've got one.
Also, I don't like that whole registry thing. I think it's awful.
I needed it because I'd literally got married out of home.
Yeah.
Well, so you actually need stuff.
Yeah, we needed stuff.
But that was a different time, Leanne.
Yes, it was. We weren't living in sin, you see.
Living in sin.
So, okay, Gareth, you say three destination weddings. This very good friend of mine in Cape Town, he has been in the last, let's just call it conservatively 6 years, best man at over 30 weddings.
What?
He has dedicated so much of his weekend
time.
Mind
you, I've probably emceed 30 weddings, I reckon.
But to like best man.
I've only been best man twice.
Yeah, okay, so just let that sink in. So just think, that's how many destination weddings he's going to. Plus he's going to ordinary other weddings as well.
But does he love weddings?
He's just such a nice guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, he must be a nice guy.
And people really love having him around, and he means so much to people. And but that's just social prison.
It becomes like a job. I mean, he's got to organize the bachelors.
But that's the thing. He's got down to a point that he has organized so many bachelor parties. He's been to so many different fucking weddings. Jeez. Like, I chat to him, I get tired.
Yeah.
He tells me about these places he's going to.
Would you have him as your best man?
No, I'd give him the day off. I'd make sure his table is closest to the bar, and I'd make sure you have a good time.
Yeah, you see, I get drafted in often as an MC.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Well, that's the nature of who you are.
Exactly. And I say no to most of them. I really do. With the kindness that I can muster in order to say that, because it's really not about me at all. Mm. It's about them. And for them, it's their big day, and, you know, they're having all these special things that they're trying to arrange, and they want it to be great and funny and interesting and successful and terrific, and everybody must think it was the best wedding ever, because that's all anybody wants is to have the best wedding ever.
Yeah.
And I just don't like to do it for some people.
Yeah. And also, it's your friends, and you want to relax and celebrate.
Yeah, but you've got to be like a super, super good friend of mine for me to do that for you.
Yeah, but you don't also then have drinks with someone and say, oh, yeah, by the way, Jim the accountant, can you do my tax next week?
Yeah. You don't do that. Yeah. You wouldn't ask, and Jim would say no if you asked him for a freebie.
He would say no, of course. Yeah. Then you'd be like, well, screw you and your wedding.
Well, listen to this. Carl DeSantis just wrote an email to me now. He said, my asshole brother is having his wedding in the Maldives. It's 30K minimum per head. What a twat. It's basically a forced holiday. Kind regards, Carl. Carl, first of all, you cannot use the sign off of kind regards. You're not a kind person. I love your email, and you make me laugh. And your brother probably is a douchebag, but... You can't say that.
But it is, but at the same time, like, there are certain instances where everyone, it just makes sense for certain people. So my oldest brother is currently in Mexico right now at a wedding. He's having a whale of a time. But
Mexico?
But he managed.
That's cool.
And he had to pay for it.
Yeah, of course. But he's coincided with a trip to the area that he loves with his now not so new girlfriend. So he's making the most of it because that's who he is. And, so there's obviously certain kinds. If you like, you'll know your audience, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm not complaining. I know it'll be fun. I'm going to enjoy all three of them. I know a lot of the people at all three of the weddings, so it's not as if I'm going to be going into a place where there are strangers. It's going to feel very familiar. It's going to be feeling good, you know, all that kind of. And I know I'm going to have three great experiences. So there are people who love these weddings, and they are people who... For example, they go from wedding to wedding. I mean, I've got a friend. She lives in Bloom.
the circuit.
She loves weddings. She'll tell you, no, I just get it. She's at a wedding every weekend. And for her, it's like the best parties. She obviously has a little group of friends, and they all get invited to every wedding that has ever been had in South Africa because she's been to all of them. She should be on that show. You know, where those people go to the wedding.
Wedding bashes.
Love she should be show. On that I watched show. It once.
Yeah, she would be terrific there because she's seen enough of them to know the good from the bad and the ugly.
Well, maybe she's really onto something. Firstly, free bar.
Yeah, no. Definitely.
If that isn't the basis of good partying, I don't know what is.
Good food.
You get to dress up, okay? So you get to look your best. So if you're going to meet someone, this is the time. I'm banging, I'm looking sharp.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah, you're dressed up.
People are happy. Yeah. There's a general sort of structure to your night. It isn't just getting drunk in your car and then hoping the DJ plays your favorite song, which is most people's Saturday night out. So maybe she is really onto something.
She certainly loves it. She hasn't stopped. She got married, and she hasn't stopped going to the weddings. Now her poor husband has to be dragged to all of them as well. But they seem to love it. She posts these pictures, and it looks great. It's her favorite
Living
thing
Living the
her.
Dream.
Yeah. Anyway, how was your weekend, Ass? What did you do?
Unlike you enjoying the hot weather, I did not. It was really incredibly hot.
Betty Swallocks.
Yes, everywhere. Sure. I'd sit down for 5 minutes, and then everything was wet.
Oh, gosh.
I have a very little dog, and he has very little hair, and you know he doesn't have a thick coat or anything. He's a little miniature pincher.
Yes.
And he couldn't take the heat. I mean, I've had him. We've lived in McGregor in the Karoo before.
Is Joey?
Yes.
Joey's still going strong, huh?
Well, not so strong. He's
okay,
like
so Joey's
11.
Going weak.
Joey's Forgive going. Me.
As I
when
said,
when
Joey's
you call
going.
Him, when you call him in the garden, he looks in the opposite direction. He doesn't can't really see or hear properly. But he was acting so strangely. He wouldn't leave my side for a second. I had to check before I took a step because he was right there. He dug out all the shoes from my cupboard and went and sat in the corner.
What a
I had
strange
to
dog.
Give him cold showers. It was just annoying.
He's tiny, so I mean, he must burn at a couple of thousand degrees because they have those fast metabolisms. Those dogs,
metabolism of a hummingbird.
But he's small and he has little hair and he should be fine. Imagine a big dog. Like I looked at my sister's dog yesterday. I went for lunch at my parents
because
my
corgi, right?
Yeah, my aunt was visiting. It's a hairy, obese corgi.
Okay,
so it's hairy.
Very hairy.
Yeah, it's got like that double coat underneath. Mm. So this dog.
Like, and like a double glazed dog, basically.
And she's fat like a tick.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how she survives. I don't know how she manages.
Well, they all have these different breathing systems, but yeah, it does get quite difficult.
Apparently, dogs do not sweat
through
their fur at all. They sweat through their paws,
and
obviously they pant.
Panting a lot, yeah.
And it's interesting that cats don't. However, when my cats are really stressed, so say I've just taken them to the vet, put them in the car, and the car's a bit warm, then they'll open their mouths, and it's quite a weird sight because you don't see cats doing that.
That's weird.
Otherwise, dogs stinky breath all over all the time in the heat.
So if you see a cat doing that, is that that's a bad sign?
Yeah, it's like,
it's
whoa.
Not having a good time.
Put the aircon on, do something. Sure.
Yeah, like in this heat, like Hopkins, our little guy, he now just sleeps in the basin. He gets into the basin. It's the perfect size for who he is.
Really?
And he just chills there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But I took him for a walk this weekend. It was quite funny.
Does he have a harness?
Yeah, he does have a harness.
A cat walk.
Because he's an indoor cat. He's a white cat. I've never exposed him to the sun, and he's an indoor cat. Mouses is outside. Those are their rules. Their roles in life.
Yeah.
So I put the harness on him inside. He just drops to the floor like, I'm not going anywhere. And then he's into like fight mode. But I take him outside in the harness, and he realizes, okay, the only time I get to go outside is with the harness. I'll play along. And then he's like walking around, just having the best time, sniffing things, eating the grass. As I bring him home, he now has a meow. So he's now discovered this like roar. For the next half hour, he did nothing but just meow and meow and meow and run around with like a puffed out chest.
And you know, they say
that. It's so funny.
They say that cats don't meow. It's not in their nature. Cats in the wild don't meow.
Yeah.
They're like, you get these islands full of cats and they don't meow. It's purely for humans.
They do it for us?
They trill, which is that. That's how they communicate.
Yeah.
But they don't meow naturally.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's just all for us.
He hasn't stopped meowing since I took him out. So clearly it's like, take me outside, motherfucker. I want to be on the leash. Let's go.
But that's almost like discovering his mojo, really.
Yeah, or as Daniela said, it's like his voice broke over the weekend, so now it's just there for everyone to hear.
I took Joey back to the shelter where I got him from, just to say hi and so that everyone could see how well he was doing. And I hadn't had him neutered yet. He wasn't old enough. He was a little thing. And when he got there, he was so excited to see, because he was brought up in the cat enclosure because he was so small.
Right.
He couldn't be with the other dogs. He was so excited to see all the cats and... And then one of the little dogs, he tried to hump it, and he actually ejaculates onto the wall.
It's like animal porn.
And then he got into the car, and he was sitting on the backboard, and he started howling like a man.
Madness.
He howled, and ever since then, he howls now.
Oh, my God.
Disgusting.
You know, I've got to remind you, Anthea is coming in this morning, so I don't want to mess around and waste time. We've got Ben Sport on the way and plenty of other good stuff. It's a Monday, so you can stretch and yawn a little bit. And for a lot of people, this is the time of year where you start to relax a little. Hmm. It starts to get easier. Not for you, Ben?
No, it's the busiest time of my year. But this weekend, I get to go to...
Gary Player.
The Gary Player Invitational.
Oh. So, yeah. So exciting for Ben.
Well, it's Thursday, so I'm going to have to work mine. My genitalia is off between now and then, so I've got enough work done. But yeah, I'll be hanging out with Gary this weekend at Sun City. So you just know my Instagram.
Have you met him before?
Thousands of times.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, and we go way back.
Okay.
Do you think he knows who you are, though?
I always try and make efforts of being very unnoticeable around him. Because I always enjoy our first time meeting.
So for him, it's like a first time every time.
You know, like that movie, 50 First Dates with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. Because Gary's always surrounded by people who want to be his friend. I just introduce myself as, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he recognizes me by now.
But you're going to have to start wearing disguises to get the same feel.
Yeah, I'm going to grow a moustache between now and then. Next year, I'm going to have a mohawk. Yeah, I mix it up.
Hey, Nolo, how was your weekend? You're sitting there all quietly.
It was very heavy.
Oh, I can hear by your voice.
I feel very fragile.
What did you do?
So a friend of mine had a braai. It was more of a house party type of vibe in Pretoria on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we went there. It was roughly around 7 and got home around 2 yesterday morning.
Oh, really?
And then we decided to go to the game reserve yesterday just to cool off in Modderfontein.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't go as planned. And we ended up going heavy, you know, going in.
Oh, God.
And
you're very strong. Very strong.
I don't feel so strong this morning.
Well, I think there are a lot of people feeling that way. I don't know where Sia is today.
Well, you know, look.
We can't seem to identify. I saw in his WhatsApp that the last time he was active was at 2 a.m.
So
you may not be the only one, Nolo.
See, the thing is, life's not forever. We've seen this with young Gordon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now Sia, well...
Yes, poor Gord. He did message me from the dead. He said...
He sent me a video from the dead last night
as well.
Did
he also? Yeah. What was your video?
It was about having an app for sin.
Yes, it's a good app.
You want to play that?
So, yeah, let me play it for you. I'll give
quite
you an
smart.
Idea.
So,
sweet of Gord to contact us from the dead.
From the dead with religious messaging. So rather than having to go to confession and do those kind of things, you can actually then pay for your sins via an app. So depending
That's
on...
That's clever.
Depending on what sins you've done. So, like, it's nice to live without guilt. And that's kind of what Gord was trying to suggest from the dead yesterday.
Yeah, shame. But he said he would try and join us from the dead this week.
Was it made by Catholics?
It was, actually. Yeah. It's made by Catholics.
Well, you know, the Vatican's a tech company.
It is?
Everyone is these days. You're a tech company.
You have to be.
All right, listen to this. This is great.
Right. Lust, greed, gluttony. Everybody sins. And with our busy lives, people don't have time to pay for evil deeds the old-fashioned way. That's why God has immaculately inseminated our phones with a new app called Sinmo. It works just like old Roman Catholic indulgences, which allowed you to donate money to reduce punishment for your wrongdoings.
Sinmo makes avoiding eternal punishment so much easier. I know that cheating on my husband has a price, but it's a price I already paid for.
Wait, you're married?
from garden variety offenses like lying to your parents to more advanced infractions like organizing a genocide. Sinmo has a complete catalog listing the price of every sin. Whether you just murdered your uncle or sodomized a goat, you've never been closer to the kingdom of heaven. The real beauty of Sinmo is the way it turns vices into blessings. Every time you pay for a sin, the money you donate goes directly to the congregation of your choosing. Convenient settings allow you to transfer your Sinmo balance to another account or go Dutch on a sin with a co-conspirator. And the best part is, just like accepting Christ into your heart, the Sinmo app is totally free, with the exception of just a few in-app purchases. We're all human. I use it too, and trust me, it's a lot easier to enjoy your misdeeds if you don't have to feel guilty about them. Sinmo. The wages of sin are no longer death.
How's that, huh?
Oh, Bobby.
Oh, Bobby. All right, so, yeah, that was something from Gord, in case you were wondering. He's still contacting us, even though it is from the other side. All right, so Nolo had a rough weekend. I had a pretty rough weekend, too. I mean, it started with this Bachelors on Friday, which was pretty hilarious. And then, I mean, no, it wasn't the usual kind of everybody gets drunk off their faces and pass out kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was because, I don't know, there are two kinds of Bachelors parties. The ones where a bunch of people who actually know each other get together and they have the kind of night that they would have if it wasn't a Bachelors.
Yeah.
And then there are those people who feel like this is the last night of their lives and they have to go full tilt and pull out all the stops and drink every last drop of everything that is in the bar, and they need to be strippers, and it's the only time they're ever going to see a vagina again, so they need to behave like rabid primates. And those are horrible.
Mm.
Those last mentioned are horrible.
I'm glad you say that, because, I mean, I obviously don't know but what it's like to be there. But I'm glad to hear a man saying that he doesn't enjoy that type of thing.
Listen, every man in the world enjoys a stripper, but sometimes... I mean, a friend of mine in Vancouver messaged me. He went to some party over the weekend and there were strippers. So it's always going to be fun. But the idea of having to go crazy at a Bachelor's is just kind of childish. Like, the person's life is not over. They should be happy to be getting married.
Mm.
They shouldn't be going, oh my God, this is the last time I'm ever going to see another woman. Because if you can control yourself and you can behave yourself as a man, you're going to see lots of attractive women all over the world. You know, walk past them in the shops. You're going to see them on the internet. You're going to see them in movies, and that doesn't mean that you're going to want to cheat on your wife, but you like being with your wife, which is why you're marrying her, so you put other women second. That's all.
Mm.
Should be an adult, sensible,
yeah,
perfectly practical way to go about this, or am I being naive?
No, I think you're being completely on the money, Gareth, but when you say this, I'm thinking about something I can maybe like create and then be hugely smug about.
No.
What about being so progressive that you actually have a joint bachelorette party?
I think that happens.
It does happen.
But you give it some sort of name like the wedding eve. And you give it like a really smug name and a hashtag, and you literally go out and have a party, the two of you.
I think that's probably a good idea.
I think it'd be fun too, but it's about creating hashtags in life.
Also, I mean, sometimes when all the guys are together, they behave a lot worse than if it's girls and guys.
A lot of girls hate hanging out with all the other girls, huh?
That's also true.
They what?
Hated having to be forced into spending nothing but like a night with 10 chicks.
And having a stripper, male stripper there is just, it's just horrible.
You remember that? Remember male strippers.
Some guy's recently waxed pimply bum in your face.
Do you remember that? Do you remember
really
that?
Horrible.
He's
sweating because he was late. Oh, no.
Leah, it was quite funny. You weren't here, but it was from Bali's birthday. I think it was last year.
Oh.
And Sia thrusted these
oh gosh, please finish that sentence quickly. My imagination's running wild.
Pretty every stripper's upon the valley in the morning, and there was kissing and there was dry humping. It's like 6:30. Mubs looked like she wanted to vomit. It was so funny for me.
But they were low rent strippers. That's the problem.
That's what they're always,
they were low rent strippers. No. I'm sure there are better male strippers, like the Magic Mike movie. And there are good female strippers.
That was a good morning.
Beautiful, sexy, clever, interesting. And by clever and interesting, I mean girls who know how to make it more than just a show.
Mm.
They like to hang around. They have a drink or two with you. It's almost like a hostess kind of role. You know what I mean?
Like if you were to go to a strip club.
Yeah, but she happens to be really pretty and, you know, all of that
On that morning, Mubs had back knee.
Poor Mubali.
This is back knee in her face.
Oh, yeah, oh, so gross. Bad. Oh, wow.
No.
That was one of my favorite mornings.
Just anyway. Like cheap plasticky clothing, like police uniforms and things.
Awful.
I like moves from the full Monty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's get into some things you need to know this morning. Are you ready?
Correct.
Are you sure?
I think so.
All right. You know what we do here
as long
every
as
morning.
It's all good news.
Well, I'm going to try because I'm really. I think we've got to take a break from politics.
Sure.
Honestly.
Well, besides the fact that Patricia DeLille's forming her own party.
Well, how did you know that was going to be my first story?
Patricia, if you were to open a green grocery, you'd be doing more for society. Give politics a rest now.
Yeah, I really think that if you are involved in politics to the point where you were in a party, then you started your own party, then you joined another party, then you were in another party.
And there was conflict in between.
Come on.
What does it prove? There's just too much money in politics. They only stay in this for the cushy money.
Yeah, it's bad. Just stop it. It's embarrassing. Enough of you.
I think she's also out to prove a point after...
Well, then open a greengrocer. You know how hard that is.
I agree with Ben. Greengrocers, really, that's a respectable profession.
Exactly.
Anyway, so Patricia started a party. She hasn't given it a name yet. She says they're going to contest in all 9 provinces. And some people are excited about this. She says she's not going to rule out the possibility that she could run against whoever it is that goes for Premier of the Western Cape in the next election.
She'll be lapped up by the ANC.
You reckon?
Where's the positivity around this? Why is this a good thing for anybody?
All right, okay. D-Day for Pravin Gordhan. I mean, I don't understand here. The EFF, who have been shown in this VBS situation to be as twisted and corrupt and rotten as everyone else, are now trying to finger everybody else, just like when you find a child whose hand is in the cookie jar and you say, Johnny, did you try and steal a cookie? He goes, no, but Mark stole one before me, and then Justin took one as well, and Sipho Sihle took one as well. It's such childish nonsense. Like, you are the EFF. If you're supposedly better than these other guys, if you're supposedly the new thing, if you're the way that we've got to vote in the future, if you're the party to take this country forward, you should be different. You should not be near the cookie jar. But you are. All of you. Julius has been fingered. Floyd's been fingered. Floyd's brother's been fingered. They're all rotten. All of them. So what you got to do, if you're the EFF, is apologize, first of all, which we haven't heard yet. No apology. And second of all, stop looking for someone else to blame. This is standard practice for people who've never learnt any accountability in their lives, who've never been told, no, that's your fault. Own it. Fix it. Instead, now they're trying to look at Pravin Gordhan. They're saying he played a crucial role in protecting national treasury and the fiscus. But the EFF campaign to discredit him says, no, he was a Zupta stooge. He's come under increased pressure as he prepares to give his version of events around the capture of the state to Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo. He's summoned to appear in front of the public protector last week to answer questions about a pension payout by SARS to his former deputy commissioner, while the EFF has launched a huge campaign against him. They've accused him of running a spying unit and that he's plotting against them.
Oh, my word.
So come on. Right?
He doesn't have time for that.
Anyway, so let's see what happens there.
That's what deep ingrained victimhood will always give you.
A medical emergency for a Cape Town advocate has led to a delay for sentencing of a man found guilty of raping his girlfriend at a New Year's Eve rave almost 5 years after the incident occurred. Sharisha Chan died on New Year's Day 2014, a day after she was raped. Her boyfriend Tariq Phillips is convicted of the rape. And the Western Cape High Court convicted Phillips in September. Case was back in court on Monday for sentencing. So the court was informed the accused advocate was not present because he had a sudden medical emergency last week. This rendered him unable to speak. And if you're an advocate, you kind of need to be able to speak.
Mm.
But hopefully they'll resolve that soon and sentencing will commence. He's already been convicted.
Yeah, pretty dreadful story there. It looked like a drug overdose at a party.
Yeah.
Which then turned bad.
Right.
Well, worse.
Turned worse, exactly.
Bad to start with.
So there is a brand new, what is it called? The Restaurant of the Year.
Oh, yes.
You know, in Cape Town?
They have this this event, South Africa's top restaurant for 2018. And there were a whole lot of people cooking on the evening, but I don't care about that. Let me just get to the 30 restaurants that was released. The names of these.
I always found this exciting, those eat-out catalogs where you try and visit the top 10.
Right.
And make sure, like, yeah, the checklist.
Oh, sure. And if you've got the holidays coming up and you want to go to some of these, here we are. So the number 10 spot was Chef's Warehouse at Bokenstansha.
Mm-hmm.
Been there?
No.
Chef's Warehouse. I saw a friend of mine posted some pictures of he and his girlfriend were there 2 weeks ago. So that's number 10. Jardine Restaurant. I'm not sure where that is.
I'm the wrong
guy, by the way, to read this list because I'm not going to know any of them. Camphors at Vergelegen is number 8. 7 is the restaurant Mosaic at the Orient. 6 is Greenhouse at the Cellars Hornort. 5 is La Petite Colombe.
Less than 4 is.
Yeah, I've been there.
4 is Wolfgat. Number 3 is La Colombe. Number 2 is the Test Kitchen. And number 1 is the restaurant at Waterkloof.
Oh, I haven't been there. I've been to the Test Kitchen.
Yeah, well, there it is. So now you know. You can go and find out more at Food 24 this morning. So they're the top restaurants in South Africa.
Not a single Wimpy franchise, huh?
Not one, Ben. Aren't you disappointed?
Again. Robbed again.
Damn, man. So deserving.
Yes. I was chatting to a friend about over the weekend about Wimpy, and he said, is there ever an excuse to eat there if you aren't traveling? You know, like when you're going somewhere.
Yeah,
it holds memories. My grandparents used to take me there.
When you were traveling?
No, in Sandton City.
All right, well, where were you traveling
there's
to?
There's a certain taste to their burgers and chips. There's a certain taste to their milkshakes and their tomato sauce.
All right, we'll take your word for it. Yeah. She's a fan. So, Ben, in Leanne's top 10, it would feature maybe.
Maybe. Sandton right. City.
That's okay. All right, so that's about all the news we've got time for this morning. Let's get to Ben and the sport. One Bitcoin will cost you $5,550. Sorry.
Yeah.
$5,550. And the Ethereum bullshit shitter currency is at $170 now. All the way down.
200 last week.
Oh, my God. It's just a disaster. Anyway, let's get to the sport. Ben, what do you have for us today?
The Boks have a good win against the Scots. The Proteas win again in Down Under. And the Mzansi Super League gets up to a big weekend. Let's start with the rugby. And, well, let's be honest. The Scottish team was always going to be a tough team to beat. And the Boks, well, they did it. Despite the fact there were some diabolical refereeing decisions, again, isn't it horrible that we've always got to say that every single week?
Mm-hmm.
But all these guys, they're just complete and utter just inept. Mostly the French guys, and somehow the French guys just keep getting jobs.
Right.
Diversity or something, I don't know.
How rude.
Good job, 26-20, the Boks beat the Scots. It's a big, really big win. And it was an entertaining match from start to finish. If you are to be totally fair, again, it's like you look at the way the Boks could have shut the game out a bit easier. But then again, the Scots, they did have lots of chances that the Boks managed to always subdue. So, all in all, Andre Pollard played bloody well. The forwards were tidy. Front row replacements came on and made a big effort. So, again, it was just another performance where the Springboks played. And you were to say, yeah, there's some good things happening here. Some good things happening here indeed. Wales, they hammered Tonga 74-24. England had a bit of a tough time against Japan somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Game was pretty close until England ran away with it in the end. 35-15. Australia were bloody boring against Italy, still winning 26-7. And France, they won for the first time, I think, 8 months. They beat Argentina 28-13. The big result for the weekend, though, was Ireland beating New Zealand 16-9 at the Aviva Stadium. What a great match that was. Again, some pretty howling refereeing decisions. But the Irish were just so smart. They were so physical. They were so calculated. And even without their star scrum off, who was injured for the weekend, they were just pretty faultless, really. So now Joe Schmidt, he's the Irish coach. He is a New Zealander. He has been rumoured to be the next All Black coach. Now, when you lose as the All Blacks, well, basically the state goes, the whole country goes into mourning. If you are in New Zealand right now, thoughts and prayers. Because that's all they really have to look forward to. Yeah, that's pretty much it. That, and if the wool price suddenly sinks. So New Zealand are very upset right now. And Steve Hansen, well, he says he'll make a decision before Christmas on what his future holds. They've lost twice this year, which is basically the worst year in New Zealand rugby.
Yeah.
But good for you, Ireland, who will now be rated as the number one test team in the world.
We didn't expect that to happen.
No, but there was that chance, which I did mention a few weeks back, and it all kind of hinged around them beating New Zealand, which they did. So well done on you if you bet on this over the weekend. The Proteas, they wrapped up their tour down under with a satisfactory, I think, 21-run win over the Aussies in the only T20 match. It was pretty rain-hampered, but it's just always good beating the Aussies, even if it's a team who you have no idea who's playing. But the big weekend's cricket, of course, was the Mzansi Super League.
Dun-da-da-da!
Started off by the commentator calling it the Mzansi Premier League.
Oh, that's good.
Not a great start, but then again, there's only so much that SABC can really do.
Yeah.
So yeah, people were complaining about the coverage being a bit wishy-washy, and of course, SABC, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't terrible. It was still more than watchable. And the opening match saw AB de Villiers almost win it for his team. Well, I say almost win it, because that's just no one else seemed to want to bat. Cape Town Blitz looked bloody strong. They beat the Swanee Spartans by 49 runs in the first match. The Jersey Stars didn't even huff and puff. They just sort of went out there and did bugger all. Nelson Mandela Bay Giants with the win there by 5 wickets. And then the Cape Town Blitz again against the Durban Heat. Thrilling match there. They won that one by 3 wickets with a great chase. And then the Pile Rocks, Gareth. I hate to break it to you, but your team lost by 1 run.
Oh no, how will I ever survive?
Chasing down 205 against the Swanee Spartans. They got close, but they lost by 1 run.
Oh.
Just the 1 run. So a big, big week ahead, because the tournament's only a month long, of course. So if you go into the fixtures, you can be able to find out that it's going to be all action all day. No match today, of course, because they need a rest on Monday. But tomorrow, the Pile Rocks will be hosting Jersey Stars. Gareth, my team against your team.
I'm so excited, Ben. Tell me about it the day after. What happened?
I shall. I will. Alexander Zverev, he is that young German guy with the boyish floppy hair and just that sort of flexibility you expect a man in his 22nd year of life. And he managed to use all those attributes to beat Djokovic 6-4, 6-3 and win the ATP Finals title, which means he's hugely rich. Right. Jeepers, this guy must be slapping away the tail this summer. 21 years old, he's got money, he's got everything he needs in this world.
Yeah.
And he's the ATP Finals champion. Now, Kevin Anderson, to his credit, made the semis along with Roger Federer, but it was Djokovic and Zverev in the big match. And the young winner. Only a matter of time until he starts really breaking through in the Grand Slams. And of course, this is very much on top of victories like this. He has all the belief in the world to go and do that. Bafana, they have minimal belief in the world. And of course, that results in games like 1-1 against Nigeria. Now, they needed to win this one in order to qualify automatically for the AFCON, which is obviously a big step. I know people always want to go to the World Cup, but if Bafana could just make an AFCON, I'm pretty sure we'd be happy about that. There was roughly a smattering of people. I think smattering is a nice word to use. Of people at the FNB Stadium. To their credit, it was hot as hell on Saturday. So in the sun, there was basically no one other than, like, melting people. So 4 people actually did melt. But, like, there was more Nigerians from Hillbrow than South Africans from South Africa at FNB Stadium.
Well, that tells you something.
1-1 was the result. While this was happening, Libya was absolutely trousering the Seychelles. This is what you should do against the Seychelles. So now what this means is that Bafana have to go to Libya. And if Libya wins, they go through to AFCON. Bafana do not. But if Bafana get a draw, then happy days, they can still go through. So it's very much in their own hands still. They can still go to this tournament, but rather annoying. Banyana, on the other hand, well, if you want to be excited about local football, just follow the women.
Yeah, apparently.
Simple as that.
People are saying we should scrap Bafana and just keep Banyana and get on with it.
They beat Nigeria 1-0 in the opening match at AFCON there. So right. If they win AFCON, they go to the World Cup. So Banyana, that's where the eye should be right now.
Right.
Bafana have had more than enough chances. They really have. They're much like the ANC. You want them to do well. You feel for them.
Right.
But they're not really worth supporting. Horrible, horrible take on that. But hey, you win some, you lose some on the sport with me, don't you?
And not worth supporting. Did you hear that?
In golf, Charles Howell III won for, I think, the first time in 4,831 days or something like that. He won at Sea Island, holding off a whole field of very exciting young talent. And then Danny Willett, he went from absolute shit to champagne. He was nowhere at the Nedbank Challenge the week before last. He finished near the bottom. But there he is in Dubai, winning. Wife, 2 kids in the green, lots of money coming to him as well now.
That's nice.
And then Francesco Molinari, because Tommy Fleetwood had a bit of a shocker, he ends up winning the race to Dubai. So that is the European Tour season done for this year. And it starts again this week, because that's how sport is, the wraparound season. Other than that, there was obviously other football around this whole Nations League thingy. England beat Croatia, so they're very excited about the fact that they're now in the semis. But there's so many different matches. There's like, you're in like Group A, and then there's Group B, and then there's it's just too much. It's just too much. I couldn't be bothered. If you love the Nations League, which is no one really, I'm sure you can Google it for more. And Gareth, I think that's it for the sport.
Right, well, that's
we'll find out today whether or not Sir Khaleesi has been cited for a potential headbutt.
We'll also find out whether or not Sia Sangweni's been cited somewhere.
Also true. So there is allegations that Sir Khaleesi has headbutted someone, but I wouldn't draw too much into that unless we see some hard evidence.
Yes, exactly.
And yes, some Zanzi Super League from tomorrow. I'll catch you up with the rest of the fixtures for the week. And you can go and watch a match in your neighborhood, in your town, in your city. From 25 Ranch, you know you can do it.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. All right, here's Anthea. It's That Day. Well, she's fresh off the bicycle. You did that 947, that horrible thing.
How in this heat?
How did you manage?
I'm not sure fresh is the right word.
How are you feeling?
I feel dreadful. I feel absolutely terrible.
Well, I've got to say, let me give you credit because you're not the kind of person who boasts, but I was looking at your Twitter this morning and I saw that you had a couple of pictures there of you and the rest of your crew who did the ride for the Early Care Foundation. Which you're a board member of. I've been to a couple of these creches that they have all over the townships in South Africa. They really are doing an incredible job. I went to the launch years ago of the Bram Fisherville one, and I've kind of stayed close to it because I think they do amazing work. If you can help kids and you can help women in the townships to get jobs helping those children to be raised in a safe environment, giving them some kind of care and attention at an early age, a little bit of education, it's the most terrific foundation. It's called Early Care, and you can find them on Twitter. I've just started following them as well, so you can go to mine and see who I'm following if you want to, and you can find their Twitter handle. But Anthea went out with a team of people, and you guys,
32 of us,
yeah, and you guys were fundraising for the Early Care Foundation, and well done.
Thank you.
Well done for doing it. It's a horrible way to spend your Sunday.
I can't deny it was a terrible way to spend my Sunday. It was so hard. But yeah, it's done now, moving along. We raised some money. I must admit that the Early Care Foundation does amazing work, really incredible work. I actually saw your charity there as well, Headway. They were cycling. Yeah, cycled.
Well, everybody else should have been careful around them then, because, you know, with the head injuries. But I'll tell you, the Early Care Foundation can be found on Twitter at @earlycare_, and you can go and see what they do for yourself. All right, so let's get to our money this morning. What's happening?
Oh, there's so much to talk about. But before we start talking about the market, we must start. We must answer Oki's question.
Yes.
Right? He sent us an email.
Yes.
What did he say?
He said, hi, Gareth and the team. I listen to a lot of financial podcasts, especially from the USA. According to the various of these podcasts, the world is going to go into a huge recession, much worse than 2008. Is the market in a bubble? People are encouraged to invest in silver and gold now. Well, you're probably hearing that because the people who are trying to sell you silver and gold are advertising.
Okay, you beat me to the punch.
Isn't that what it is?
It's a bit like that. But no, there's probably a decent reason for it. I mean, you always get these Dr. Dooms. Mark Farber is a big one. So they're always like, oh, the market's going to crash. And guess what? They're going to be right because even eventually, a broken clock is right twice a day, right?
Yes.
And eventually the market does turn. So I think the markets, the US particularly, are presenting amazing company results at the moment. You'll see, we'll talk about Tencent later. Because it's listed there.
Right.
I'm trying to bring too many things in at once. And they're at their lowest unemployment rate. And so why does he think the market's going to go into a huge, in capital letters, recession?
Huge.
Because people are telling you so. And then the other thing that I really want to say is that I know we speak about the markets and stocks every day, but really the people who are responding and listening to us should be investors, not speculators. That's the first thing, right? And so what you want to do is build a well-diversified portfolio with uncorrelated assets. So gold, silver, very uncorrelated to equities or bonds or even property for that matter. You know, gold and silver tends to be what they call an inflation hedge. So if you're getting increasing inflation, your solid assets like property will increase by the price or by inflation at least. Mm-hmm. So you're going to, that's what you're trying to do always, is beat inflation. So there's a big difference between short-termers who are actually savers and should not be in the equity market. They should be in fixed deposits, bank deposits, money market accounts, because they're going to need their money short-term. And the one thing you don't want is for the market to be down when you need to withdraw your money. Although, over the long term, historically, equities always outperform other assets.
Okay.
So what you need to do is give yourself time if you're a real investor. If you're a speculator and you're or a day trader or a scalper, as we call them, what you're trying to do is generate returns on a short-term basis. Well, then you must be sat in front of a trading screen and then trade like that. And you know I hate gold. Not hate it. I don't.
Well, you say it's for pirates, Anthea.
It's for pirates.
Can I just add that I've spent a bit of time in America, and what you have is on a lot of conservative talk shows and a lot of conservative news channels and websites, you get huge amounts of advertising for gold and silver. And the reason they do that is it's psychological. If you go to conservative people, they tend to be conservative. They tend to be less risky. They tend to want things that can be stable, that are the kinds of anti-inflationary hedge that Anthea is talking about. And they sell tons of this crap to people, or particularly old people, who know that if you can hold it in your hands and it's gold, then it's worth something.
Yeah. Tangible.
Right. And they're scared of things like the NASDAQ, and they're scared of things like cryptocurrencies, and they're scared of things like
shares.
Oh, I mean, it's just too, so if you tell an old person you can have some gold, they go, oh, yes, I'll have, because in the old days, that backed up currency. So they understand in some primal way that it's going to give them a value that goes forward that doesn't necessarily start to run down. However, I mean, you tell me about the price of gold. It hasn't really delivered returns for anyone.
No.
Not in the last couple of years.
And as smart investors, we understand supply and demand. And if those people are demanding it, then obviously the price is going to go up. Just watch gold in October when it's the Indian wedding season. Gold price always rallies because there's demand for it.
Huh.
Gee.
It's quite an interesting phenomenon. So, yes, you can try and time it. And even somebody like me who doesn't like or doesn't really understand the fundamentals of gold, I know that my portfolio needs a little bit of gold as an inflation hedge, as I need property, shares, bonds, money market.
Okay. So, okay, that's your question answered. Please don't write to us about gold for at least another 3 weeks. All right. Let's look at some other stuff. Retail sales.
Right. So on the macro front, retail sales came in at 0.7%. That's for South Africa last week. We were expecting a 2% increase, so it was a little bit disappointing, especially seeing as August was 2.5%. But I think what's happening is that consumers know that it's Christmas coming up. They also know that it's Black Friday coming up, and so they're not spending.
Hmm.
I think that's what it is. Mostly, I think that's what it is. The interesting category was other retailers, which contributed 0.5% to the 1.5% year-on-year growth. So basically a third. And what sits in other categories is internet sales. So internet sales in South Africa is now suddenly taking off in a huge way, I think. And again, I think that points to my Black Friday theory, or
you mean
a week of Black Fridays, as the retailers will have us
believe.
You mean
people have finally crossed the Rubicon into the land of buying stuff online? I mean, I've been in this land for a long time, and it's been largely uninhabited.
Yeah.
Honestly, you meet people all the time, and it's probably these old people who buy gold, but a lot of people are very nervous about using their credit card online. Let me tell you something. You should be nervous about using it in a place like a restaurant.
Exactly.
Where it could be taken into the back and could be copied. You shouldn't be nervous about it online. In fact, online they have all kinds of quite rigorous processes that go on behind the scenes. Some of them developed by, what's his name?
The Shuttleworth.
Shuttleworth.
Yeah, way back in the day, right?
You're probably safer online than you are in the real world.
Exactly. You go to a mall, people can cough on you, plus they can steal your handbag and your child.
Right. And remember,
more difficult.
Remember there was a time when people really loved cash? They liked to carry around cash until it became dangerous to have cash on you?
bacteria all over your hands, right, all day.
Ben's worried about the health aspect.
So many risks.
But you're imagining that that's going up.
Absolutely, yeah. No, definitely. I mean, it's interesting to see these numbers increase so significantly. Right. Yeah. And it does feel a bit like, oh, finally.
All right.
In South Africa. And then also still on the macro, Brent crude is now trading at about $67 a barrel. And the rand is a little bit stronger. So, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, the petrol price only changes once a month, but oil and your rand price changes every day. So we can't change the petrol price every day. But what we are seeing at the moment is that in South Africa, we are collecting 1.49 rand per liter more than we should on the petrol price. So hopefully 4th of December, when's that? Not next week, week after.
It's just after my birthday, Anthea.
When's your birthday?
2nd December.
Well, we might have a little birthday present for you, lower petrol price. I hope so.
Yeah, don't count your chickens.
Well, obviously that's what they're going to do. So before we go on holidays, we can go, oh, look at the government, they give us stuff.
Don't count your chickens. It's never happened. It doesn't happen that way. Government do not give you presents.
Well, let's
they take away.
The oil price and the rand stay strong. Right. We do have the MPC this week as well, so that's going to be interesting because the last time we had it, it was close, eh? They were almost, I mean, they kept it the same, so four of them said they wanted to keep it the same, and three were very hawkish and said they wanted to raise interest rates. And Francois Groupe, one of the deputy governors, has made a lot of noise. He's obviously the biggest hawk. About the fact that our target is 3 to 6% on inflation, and and last came in at 4.9. He wants it back at the midpoint of 3 to 6, which is 4.5. So obviously he was one of them that voted for a rate increase. That would be mean before Christmas.
It would be very mean. But are they capable of being mean at the Reserve Bank?
Oh, they don't care.
No.
This is all about the economy. This is about the numbers.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hope that's not right. Company news.
Okay, so in company news, wow, last week was hectic. It started on Monday with bombs. Bombs going off everywhere. Vodacom down 8%. British American Tobacco down 11%. Robosis down 21%. Sohol was down 3%, but then carried on a little bit lower on Tuesday, and I'll tell you why. Let's start one at a time. Vodacom reported interim results, pretty messy because they're adopting IFRS 15.
What is that?
It's an accounting practice. Don't worry about it.
Oh, God.
I know, right?
Oh, that sounds
dull.
Horrible. IFRS 15.
It's for the accountants. Let them have their day.
This is why I'm not on a board.
Yeah. Exactly. That was the first issue, and then their costs related to the BEE deal, which they concluded in this half's results. So HEPS was down, headline earnings per share, was down 13.5%. Although if you take the BEE deal out, headline earnings per share was actually up 6%.
Yeah.
So earnings a bit light, but not disastrous. You know, so, I mean, it is what it is, and we kind of have to go through it. Slightly better than MTN, which we saw the week before. And then British American Tobacco, and I'm sure you've all
seen... But hang on a second.
Yes?
These cell phone networks, these guys have been printing money for the last 20 years. Printing it. They've been making a fortune. Suddenly the tide has turned. They saw this was coming a little while ago. They tried to make plans. Have any of them got the plans right to the point where they keep growing? Because it looks to me like they're now starting to shrink, which was predictable.
Yes. You know, I would say that MTN is probably your best bet when it comes to that because of their global footprint and the fact that they're doing things like they've got Rob Shooter, who's an ex-banker, and his ex-banker teammates. And they've applied for license of mobile money in Nigeria. So you can see where that's going, right?
Okay.
And then, of course, there's the Spectrum auction, which is coming up, and that's going to cost whoever gets it a fortune. So, no, I don't know that they have done that well, other than the move from voice to data. They definitely need to change.
None of them are doing anything innovative right now, are they? Anything that impresses you?
Not particularly, no.
Okay, so let's just, sorry, I had to pause it there.
Sure, no, you're absolutely right. And even MTN, we talk about the banking, right? But even if they do go into banking, they've got all these competition. They've got they've got Bank Zero. Discovery Bank launched last week. I mean, we need to talk about that because
we can't, Anthea. We're white.
Why not?
Well, speak for yourself.
So they claim to be the first behavioral bank in the world. And you know why, right? Because they've got all this data on Vitality members, which is only 1 million. But I tell you what, as soon as Discovery Bank launches in March next year, I'm in. Because if you meet your targets, which I'm already doing from a health perspective, on any money that you save, they will pay you 3% more than the market rate. And on any credit, like a mortgage or any debt, I should say, on your mortgage or your car loan, they will give it to you at 6% less than the market rate. I'm in for paying 6% less.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It's difficult to actually really go against that.
Yeah.
Why would you?
So I don't think they're going to have bank branches, but yeah. It's
not needed.
Exactly. Again.
You got the tech, you got the innovation. Okay. That's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to go to a bank branch?
So these cell phone or these telecoms really struggling. I mean, the other one, of course, is Telkom, who are the second largest property owners in the country. I mean, there's a, yeah.
That's what one are they way to keep the money up.
There you go, right? What are they going to do about it? Release properties, sell properties?
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Not
but
a bad
then what
plan.
Happens? What kind of business do you have then? No business, because you've sold your assets.
All right. You mentioned the others. Let's just finish off that long list.
Sure.
Robosis, who the hell are they again?
Robosis are a property company. They released full year 18 results. Distribution for the year was down 28%, and property companies are all about paying dividends. So if you're going to own property companies, you want the income. Generally, that's how it works.
How are the others in the property business doing?
Oh, no, it's been a disaster. This year has been an unmitigated disaster. First, because we had this Viceroy report on resilient, not so resilient. it was shocking. And Robosis, for example, their second half results was down 53% on their first half results. And part of it's got to do with something they call New Frontier Properties, which is a UK-based regional shopping centre, which is listed in the UK, and it's a disaster.
British American Tobacco?
So this is interesting, because you would have read this in the news. The FDA, the US authority, is wanting to ban menthol cigarettes. And the reason they're doing this is because they think that menthol cigarettes are an entry point for youngsters to get into smoking. And so they say it's dangerous as well as that, which makes sense, right? Because they're lighter, they've got flavor. They're also going to ban or wanting to ban flavored cigarettes. And here's the problem is that all those vaping machines, they're all flavored. So it's an easy entry point to smoking. And the FDA is saying, no, this is unhealthy. This is bad for you. This is how we're going to stop people from being unhealthy and smoking.
There was like a myth going around years ago that menthol cigarettes would cause male infertility. And I thought it would be that for the reason for the ban, but no.
I also heard that menthol cigarettes, my machine's just died, cause crystals on your lungs. But I think it was also a myth.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Only in the festive season.
All right.
Twinkly lungs for Christmas.
Okay. Can I quickly interject with something from Lindsay? She just sent an email now and said, I was listening to you, Anthea, talking about the A2X last week and remember a previous conversation about how much money you said you would have made if you'd bought shares in the JSE when it launched. Seems like the opportunity to get in on the ground floor with a rival exchange is here. How do you go about purchasing shares in the A2X exchange?
So A2X is currently not listed, unfortunately. And I don't think it's as simple as it was for the JSE, because don't forget, the JSE was the only exchange. And so they were a monopoly, basically. And they still are. And they're so much further down the line when it comes to
tech.
Tech and having access to
credibility
London, and there you go, and fiduciary insurance and all this sort of thing. So I think it's going to be difficult for the other exchanges to come in. But unfortunately, they're not listed anyway, so you can't buy shares in them.
All right, back to the list of companies that we were talking about just a minute ago. Tsoho Sun is the last one. Tell me about them.
Because a couple of months ago, I told you about how you should be buying Tsoho shares, because what they're doing is they're disposing or unbundling the 7 mixed-use casino properties again. Entertainment company, but actually holds lots of properties. And how they were going to distribute the excess cash to shareholders. Mm-hmm. And we figured that there was, at the time, I think like 23% upside. Guess what happened last week? Tsoho came out and said they had spoken to shareholders at the AGM and shareholders were not going to approve the unbundling. How crazy is that? I mean, you would think that a company like that, who spends probably a year, more than a year, working on a big deal like this, putting together, strategizing, how very clever of them, would at least canvass shareholders, right? Say, please, you're going to vote in favor of this deal, or unbundling, right?
So, surprise.
Shock, horror.
A turd in the punch bowl.
Exactly. Oh, I was very disappointed. But Henry, you'll remember Henry. I know he hasn't been on for a while, has he? We need to get him back on.
Yeah, I think we do.
He's the analyst on this. And so I kind of rushed over to him and said, like, what are we doing with this? Because I was going to sell my shares immediately. But we looked at the numbers again. And even with the unbundling, Soho still looks relatively cheap. So we decided to hold on to our shares in the hope that they'll not necessarily get the transaction through, but that they'll keep their growth trajectory. And then I know I haven't listed this for you, Gareth, but there was some good news.
Tor?
Yes. Aha, so you noticed.
Tell me.
Ethos, which is a private equity, and Apex, which is a banking group, made a bid to buy out the entire share capital of Tor. Hmm. They're going to pay 820 million rand. Tor was up 18%. Wow. And then, of course, Stellar Capital, which owns 57% of Tor, was up 9% on Monday and then another 8% on Tuesday. And I do believe you and I still sit on these gosh darn Stellar Capital shares, right?
Yeah, well.
And here's the twist. Charles Pettit, ex-CEO of Stellar Capital, is the founder of Apex.
Oh.
So he's...
Is that legal?
Well, remember, he was the CEO of Stellar. Uh-huh. He created this great structure where uh-huh. him and Christo Visser were going to get lots of benefits, and hopefully we were all going to benefit from their great ideas.
Yes.
And then he left, and now he's gone somewhere else and gone, well, actually, I still want my Stellar Capital structure or Tor structure.
All right, finally, Tencent. The results came out on Wednesday.
Yeah, so big one, of course, because of Naspers, right? You know that. Mm-hmm. Basically, 33% of Naspers. Very difficult. Hang on, let me rephrase that. I say difficult because all the analysts are looking at it and going, oh, revenue has not increased as much as it has in the last 3 years, you know, so revenue growth is slowing. Net income surged by 30% for the quarter to $3.4 billion. It's okay. I'm going to be okay with a company that can grow net income by 30%. I mean, the real issue, of course, with Tencent is that the Chinese government are trying to get the youngsters to stop playing all these online games. And, you know, Tencent is a great gaming business. But Tencent, really, they're smart about this. You know, they've boosted their earnings by including an investment in something called Meituan. Mm-hmm. Which is a food delivery business. So again, diversification, saving them. And they really are kind of tightening the belt around marketing and advertising just so that they get through this very difficult period of Chinese government regulation, basically.
All right.
And of course, don't forget they still have WeChat, which...
Which seems to be doing fine everywhere except... it's doing fine in China and nowhere else.
Yeah, but China's a
it's all they
people.
Need. Yeah, it's all they need. No, of course. Exactly. I mean, anywhere else you'd go, wow, what a success. But somehow they expect more.
Yeah.
All right. They're still making tons of money out of gaming.
Oh, absolutely.
Tons.
But advertising is really where it grew. It was up 47% in the third quarter.
Whew.
Yeah, that's not terrible, is
it? No, not terrible at all.
Okay, fingers crossed for the MPC this week then, eh?
Yeah.
All right,
so we'll keep an eye. Thank you very much, Anthea. If anything dramatic happens, we'll hear from you. Otherwise,
indeed.
Have a good week and get some rest after doing that cycle race.
Thank you.
All righty. Anthea Gardner, everybody, and a look at the markets this morning. I hope your day's off to an excellent start. You know how to get hold of us, 0861-555-189. Tell us what you're up to. Tell us about your weekend, and let's get into some news and some of the stories everybody's talking about next. CliffCentral.com.